We must prepare for the future of transportation. With 160% growth in electric vehicle sales globally despite COVID, demonstrate huge opportunity for electric vehicles in the future. With governments influencing the growth and funding of the charging infrastructure, electrifying commercial fleets, and promoting renewable energy, this market has become quite lucrative for entrepreneurs. On the other hand, it poses a risk of entering into the relatively new market where there is a lot of uncertainty around manufacturing, skilled resources, new inventions, and changing policies. Anyone who wants to seize the opportunity and build next unicorn in this sector needs to listen to the experience of those who are building wonderful solutions in this area. Learn what it takes to be an entrepreneur in this profitable but dynamic sector from the e-mobility entrepreneurs themselves. While everyone is focusing on building electric vehicles, today we are going to talk with someone who decided to focus on optimizing charging infrastructure. That is a fundamental source of energy for these vehicles. Let's hear from Gerard, CEO of ChargeEngers and an e-mobility influencer from France, about his thoughts on growing e-mobility market around the world. So, hi Gerard, thanks a lot for joining Entrepreneurial Minds. This podcast is basically going to help the entrepreneurs and novice entrepreneurs basically learn from the experiential learning of the people who are already in the industry for quite some time. And that's where you pitch in. This time we are talking about the e-mobility or e-vehicles, and that's how it started. So thanks a lot for joining us on the podcast.
Yeah, thanks.
Yeah. So the first thing that comes to mind, right, you know, the core problem that we are trying to solve here is moving from one place to another, right? Especially if I talk about the e-vehicles. So how do you think, like, you know, I know the ecosystem that you're building, you're more or less building the charging ecosystem or helping the charging ecosystem, but do you see that, you know, this will be an end of IC engine era for the vehicle in the future? What is your thought around that?
Yeah, so the software is able to supervise any kind of charging station that is compatible with the OCPP Open Charge Point Protocol 1.6. So this is a global protocol with 32 countries. So it's a web service, and this protocol is fully interoperable with any kind of station brand. And this is really important to understand. So once you're able to supervise those stations, then we are covering three different scenarios that you use to when you have an EV, you need to charge at home. So this is the first scenario. So during the night, you want also to charge at work, so during the day. And you might want also to charge when you are moving from one place to another, when you need to do long traveling. And with one single software, we are able to cover those three scenarios in one single dashboard, I would say.
Yeah. So that's very interesting, like, you know, because at least when we look at the e-vehicles in India today, the biggest challenge is, you know, the range that it can cover. And of course, the battery capacity is one thing, but also having an capable charging ecosystem throughout the country is really important. And yeah. So we want to understand, like, you know, how did you come up with this idea of building a software or an open source software which can manage these charging stations? How did that trigger?
Yeah, it started 5 years ago because we had a lot of charging station and a lot of EVs. And the main problem was simple. The station were simply broken, or the station were failing. So the people were stuck in front of the station. They were not able to plug or unplug anything. and they were not able to charge their vehicles. So it's quite simple. And I asked myself, but how we can remotely know the status of the station, how we can operate remotely the station. For instance, the first feature was, how can I simply reboot a station? Because when you reboot a station, then automatically the cable will be unlocked. So this was the first idea, is how can I help my customers to start a charging session or to stop it while I'm not on site? So it was a simple question. Then we realized that it was possible to supervise the station, because for most of them, they had a computer inside, and they were able to communicate on the internet. But it was not the case at the beginning, because most of the AC station, they were not smart enough to connect any system. So our first achievement was to find the right hardware to be able to be connected on the internet. So this is how it started, because on my side, I'm an electronic engineer and also software engineers, and the charging station are simply the bridge in between the hardware systems and also the software environment. So you need to be able to understand the hardware, and you need to also to be able to speak with a web service or REST web service.
Basically, you know, why did you make a choice to build something open source and not build for a specific charging station?
Yeah, it's simple, because when we discovered different brand of charging stations, so for instance, we had in France Schneider Electric or APP or I don't know others, you know, Wallbox, all those guys, they had a specific software, in-house software. The first charging system we bought was an ABB system, and they proposed us to also to buy their software, but it was not possible for us to supervise one DC station ABB plus another AC station of another brand. So first the question was, how can I centrally connect all the different brands in a single system? And we didn't find any software in the market was able to do so. So the idea was, okay, we need to have something open of different kind of hardware. And then we also need to be open ourselves. We need to be open to federate, I would say, other people around the globe with a common standard. And for us, this was really important to give an example and to say, it's possible to have something open source. It's working, and then you could also make business with it. So it's totally possible to do it.
Yeah, that's quite an interesting, because one thing that even the other EV vendors told, that, you know, the lack of standardization in this particular ecosystem is something which is hurting even to the battery manufacturers or other people. And similar challenges probably are there in the software which is going to manage these charging stations.
I would add another thing, is that the market is really growing fast, and if you have too many in-house software, you cannot move fast with a product. So the best way to move fast would be to open and to collaborate each other, and the only way to do that would be to make a software in the open source. There's no other way.
I completely agree. So you mentioned about the, you know, there is a sudden rise, or probably this e-vehicle ecosystem is growing very fast across the globe. Any specific reason you see, like, you know, this is probably a trigger for this particular rise in the e-vehicle consumption today?
Yeah, I think it's happening, let's say, since last year. And also this year, I think the delivery of electric vehicle has doubled since 2 years. So, and the first reason I would say is the price of petrol. So it's simple. In Europe, we have a lot of problem. The petrol is really, the price is rising because of, you know, production, because of different what's happening political, you know, there's a war in Europe, and there's also the gas price, which is also really high. So more and more the people are looking at some alternatives, I would say. So the electricity in France is really cheap. So you can make a 400 kilometer with, let's say, 20 euros in France, comparing to petrol. So petrol would be now 100 euros for the same range. So the first reason I would say is the price, and the second reason obviously is the pollution, because we have big cities here. I'm looking at in Nice, and in France you have 10 big cities, I would say, up to 2 or 3 million people, and then the air is not breathable. So we need to find something which is, yeah, it's not polluting, and the only way would be to move electric. Obviously, you need to produce electricity with something which is also clean, because if you produce electricity with coal, then it does not solve the issue. So, but electricity, clean energy, clean electricity exists. So we are able to produce with solar, with wind, and nuclear power plant. So this is carbon-free production, and then the electricity is totally green. And then obviously you need also to build the car. This is not green, but building a battery is over time, I think it has less impact on carbon dioxide than building a gasoline petrol car. And obviously if you look at petrol, it's really polluting. So this would be the best option we have in the future.
Yeah, you made that point, because, you know, that has been an argument around when the people say that, you know, it's also important how you produce that energy, which you are going to consume. So that's really important. One question on the standardization part, like, you know, you're building a software which is falling to some standards for the charging network. First thing is, like, you know, if you can explain a bit about that standards, how they evolve or when they evolve, because audience in India probably are not aware of these standards today. And second thing is, how important is having the standardized battery ecosystem to support this charging infrastructure? So if you can share some light on both these aspects.
The standard we are using is the Open Charge Point Protocol, which is part of the OCA, Open Charge Alliance. So this alliance is across many countries, even in China, in the US, and mainly in Europe. So it's really important, because if you have a system that is not able to speak the same language with different system, that will not work simply. And we saw that in the industry, for instance, the 3G network or 4G network. At the beginning, everybody has this own protocol, you know, WMCDA or LTE or whatever protocol they had. And in the end, the user was not able to move from one country to another, or to move one place to another, because the system was not interoperable. It was not possible to work in any conditions. So having a global standard is the basis for the mobility system. And we need to move forward with this standard, because there are new technology coming, especially with the connection of the cars themselves. So in the future standard, you will be able to connect your car directly to the station, and the car will identify itself through the cable. And it's a simple thing, but in theory, it's really hard from technical perspective. So you need to have a common language so that everybody is speaking and understanding the same thing.
Does this standard also describe anything about the type of battery or the manufacturing of the battery? Does the standard also include that physical aspect, or it only talks about the software part or the charging?
For time being, it's only software, but it's also now touching the hardware, and it will also move to different type of cable, for instance. You know, in the history as different type of cables. You had CHAdeMO for Japan, you had GBT for China, Combo CCS one for US, Combo CCS two for Europe, and AC plugs. Now we are converging with only one standard for Europe. Even Nissan is moving from CHAdeMO to Combo. So we see that also the standard is really important for hardware, because if you put a lot of money in your charging infrastructure, if you have too many different cables, you will not make it because you need to support those different standards over time, you know. And if manufacturer decided to choose another standard, then you need to change again your charging infrastructure. So yeah, it's also touching the hardware. And I would say in the building infrastructure and in the energy ecosystem, it will also happen, because you need to speak to a charging system and in the same way as you need to speak with a building, with a battery, with a solar system, or whatever, any energy system. So I think over time, this open source protocol will also migrate to different kind of areas in the ecosystem, like building and energy. Yeah.
That's really crucial, because when I was talking with some entrepreneurs, they mentioned that, you know, if I take a cost of an e-vehicle, the 40% is the battery cost. And standardization probably can help reduce this cost for e-vehicle manufacturer also, and also help building the infrastructure, which is economical enough for the people. I think we talked about the charging ecosystem, the software that we're using, why it should be open source. Do you see any gaps today in the e-mobility system which are probably still not addressed or important and should be addressed sooner or later?
Yeah, I think the main point is really the energy availability across the grid. Because simple thing, if everybody has an electric vehicle tomorrow and wants to charge at the same hour of the day, then it will be not possible. So the main challenge we have to face is how we can handle everybody wants to charge, have his vehicle fully charged without impacting too much the grid. And what needs to be improved today is the smart communication with the production, distribution, and energy provider communication. Because energy is the last area where there's no digitalization. But we will need you tomorrow to be able to speak with your provider and to say, okay, I want to charge maybe today because the energy is cheaper, or if you prefer me to charge tomorrow because the grid is not able to provide me enough energy, then the communication in between the production and the vehicle and charging system and the building, everything needs to be smart, you know. Otherwise, we will not have enough power. It's simple. Yeah,
that's true. Like, how do you optimize the consumption of the grid so the available energy?
Yeah,
make sure it is available all the time. Ideal scenario for the e-vehicles to work. Yeah, and other aspect which comes is generally, like, to give an idea that, you know, in India, whenever we are talking about the e-vehicles or the startups who are getting into this sector, the government is providing a huge support in terms of subsidizing the cost of manufacturing and other. So how important it is, like, if I look at the European countries, how important is government support while building such ecosystems?
Yeah. In France, we have subsidies for cars. So we have 60,000 euros if you buy a new car, if it's electric vehicles or hybrids. And they give also you 50% of subsidies if you want to install a charging station. So yeah, since 2 or 3 years now. And we have in France now up to 13,000 stations, so AC and DCs. But they want to double it in the next years. And they will have to, because the market is happening today. We have a 20% share of electric vehicles on the market. So it's really growing fast. We need to have to increase our capacity, and for that we need to have a smart software that is able to give you an overview on your charging systems and to do some dynamic also regulation on power, you know. Otherwise we will have troubles.
Probably towards the end, would you like to give some tips to the people who want to enter with some idea into the e-mobility sector? Any tips that you would like to give from your experience?
The most difficult is to buy the right hardware, the right charging station, given a lot of parameters. First, you need to know what kind of EV you want to buy, how many EVs you want to buy if you have a fleet, what is your energy contract, your capacity, so how many stations you can install on your site. Would be the station fully upgradable? I mean, with new standards, will you be able to follow those new technology and standards? So you have to ask yourself a lot of questions before to buy anything, because otherwise, once you've done your choice, you cannot move forward, backward. And each case is different. So you have to do a kind of study before to have a budget. You need to know what you want, simply. And this is what we do in our company. We give advice, and given your scenario, do you need some solar panels? Do you need a battery? Do you need to have data from your building? That's a lot of question. And given different customers, it would be really different from one case to another.
Yeah. Thanks. So that's quite a different perspective, definitely. And it is wonderful, basically, because till now, whomever I was talking, we were talking about the battery ecosystem, the charging network, or how the e-vehicle performance, but no one talked next stage where, you know, I'm going to, optimize the consumption of this charging network, or probably how would we make sure that, you know, energy production is also being taken care of, because that is, as you mentioned, right? Ultimately, you have to look at that capacity, because just putting the e-vehicles on the road is not sufficient. We need to make sure they have enough electricity to power them. So that's really nice.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And maybe tomorrow we will have the chance to use also the electric vehicles as a energy storage, you know, so what we call vehicle to grid. This is the final goal, because, you know, we have production renewables with wind and solar, and sometimes you need to store the energy. So the idea would be to associate these renewables with the electric vehicles, so that you can store the energy when you don't need it, and you take it back when you need it automatically. So yeah, this open many combinations with energies. Businesses,
So yeah, I think that's all I had for today, and thanks a lot for joining in. And
thanks for having me. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
This is a pretty divergent view of e-mobility ecosystem. Gerald not only focused on optimizing charging infrastructure, but also they have developed an open source software to manage charging stations. With 5.5 million electric cars running around in Europe, a collaborative approach to build open source software to manage charging stations is definitely a key to adoption of e-vehicles. This season will bring many more electrifying talks, so be sure to subscribe. Until then, keep listening, keep learning.